Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 25. Translation and Commentary. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vipadaha Santu Taha Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavataha Darshanam Yat Syat Apunaha Bhava Darshanam Vipada Santuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam Vipada Santuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Anyone else? Vipada Santuta Shashvat Ladies, please. Santuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam Vipada Santuta Shashva Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam Vipadaha Calamities Santu Let there be Taha All Shashvat Again and again Tatra There Tatra And there Jagat Guru O Lord of the Universe, Bhavataha, Your Darshanam, Meeting, Yet that which Syat is Apunaha, Not again, Bhava Darshanam, Seeing repetition of birth and death. translation. This is Kunti Devi speaking to Lord Krishna. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again, for seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Purport. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger at every step. This last paragraph, last two sentences, paraphrase a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada quoted at least twice in his Bhagavad Gita's commentary. Anyone know that verse? What's the first line? Samashrita. Sama is pronounced samashrita, means fully taking shelter of. Say it. Samashrita ye padapallava plavang. Yeah, this last line is the best known. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Vipadam. There's danger at every step. And the first word of the verse we just read, we just chanted together, vipada. Let there be. Vipada santu ta shashvat. Let there be dangers again and again. This material world is the place of danger. Continuing to read Srila Prabhupada's purport, this material world is certified by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the nine devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Shrestham Manumapi Shat chiputramatrasvarupam rupam tasya gajam urupurim matarim goshtavartim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika matavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tamnatosmi. Vande ham Shri Guru Shri Yatah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this purport, the nature of this material world is contrasted with the nature of the spiritual world, particularly in terms of the term that Srila Prabhupada uses repeatedly here, calamity. There are various ways in which the material world can be contrasted with the spiritual world, but particularly here, Srila Prabhupada has stated that this world is full of calamities, but the spiritual world is full of bliss without trace of calamity. In this regard, I can cite one anecdote which His Holiness Indradyumna Swami told several times. At one time he was at London's Heathrow Airport waiting with a contingent of devotees to greet Srila Prabhupada, who was arriving there. Srila Prabhupada came, but the flight was, Srila Prabhupada's luggage was taking a long time to come out. And so, on the spot, Indradyumna, at the time he was a householder, was told, "You wait for the luggage." So they're too big. They eventually came. He was waiting and waiting and waiting. He was very disappointed because he thought, "Well, I want to go with the devotees and greet Srila Prabhupada back at the temple." But anyway, duty has to be performed. So he waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and eventually the luggage came. And there he was with two heavy bags, which he had to carry from outside London. London's Heathrow Airport is just outside the city, into the central London, which he did lug it. I mean, he didn't walk, obviously, but he had to. Devotees in those days, as is true in many places in our movement at the present time, didn't have much money, so there was no question of him taking a taxi all the way in, so he had to lug the luggage, and I'm not sure exactly how he brought it. Maybe if the cheapest way to do it at that time would have been to take a bus and go a little distance to the nearest tube station, because the tube didn't go all the way to Heathrow at that time, and then go underground, the underground railway, change trains, which means going up and down escalators with heavy baggage, and eventually he arrived at the temple, completely exhausted with his shoulder muscles aching. And devotee greeted him, "Oh, you just came, you missed. You missed." There was an ecstatic greeting. Srila Prabhupada had a fabulous prasadam feast after that. He says, "Is there anything left?" "No." So next thing, he had to carry up the stairs the suitcases up to Srila Prabhupada's room. He just put it down, and then door opened, and there's Srila Prabhupada. So he fell down and offered obeisances. And Srila Prabhupada slapped him on the back and said, as long as we're in this material world, there is so much difficulty, so much struggle. But when you go back to Godhead, there's no more struggle, just bliss. And we can understand, how do you go back to Godhead? You have to take the struggle for Krishna in this material world, and that is a certain way to go back to Godhead. We can sit and chant peacefully. That can also be a struggle with the mind. But as Srila Prabhupada repeatedly told us, to struggle for Krishna in this world, to establish his glories among the struggling conditioned souls who are struggling in the material energy, determined not to be Krishna conscious, matiya na Krishna paratasvato va. They're determined not to be Krishna conscious, and one who tries to enlighten them is certainly favored by Krishna. And it's a struggle to do so because they don't want it. And to preach Krishna consciousness means to go against the tide of this world. Because we are spiritual by nature we try to avoid difficulty. That's why we have houses with air conditioning for the summer and heaters for the winter. Hot water arrangement is very convenient in most places, where you just simply flick a switch, or in many places it's just 24 hours hot water. Right, very good arrangements for living comfortably. Of course, that doesn't bring us happiness. Happiness is something else. But our tendency is to avoid discomfort, to avoid struggle, to avoid calamity, because we're not meant for that. However, this world is full of difficulty. We've chosen to come to this place of difficulty. But the difficulty is not all bad. As Kunti Devi prays in this verse, she's making the unusual prayer to have many problems. If we ask people coming out of the church or the mosque or the temple, what did they pray for? I prayed for getting more money. I prayed for getting a better job. I prayed for a visa to America. I prayed for having a beautiful wife, dhanam dehi, yasham dehi, rupavati, bharya dehi. These are prayers to Durga. First thing, give me money, give me popularity, give me a beautiful wife, rupam dehi, make me beautiful. These are common prayers. It's unusual for someone to go and pray, please give me lots of problems. Everyone goes to pray, let me be free from problems. But Kunti Devi says, please make me free of the situation in which there are no problems. She was in a situation after a lifetime of struggle where everything was more or less peaceful. The Kauravas, who had been harassing the Pandavas all their lives, were now dead, and the Pandavas were in a peaceful situation. But she said, I want trouble, because by trouble we can remember you, we can see you. And if we see you, no more repeated birth and death. So one who can understand this principle of the material world, that it's meant for struggle, but if we struggle for Krishna, that is our path to liberation. Just like in the prisons in America, at least in some states, what do they call them? Reformation facility, something like that. isn't it? Reformation facility, something like that. It's a jail, but they call it a reformation facility, with the idea that you go into the jail as a scarred, nasty criminal, and when you come out, you should come as a nice, peaceful, law-abiding citizen. It doesn't happen very often, but that's the hope, or the euphemism, reformation center. You reform the shape of your nose by punching it and making it bent. That's more likely to happen. The criminals all get together and become more criminalized. Anyway, the idea is that it's meant for reforming people's wrong character. Because their character is wrong, they are not fit to live in the world of cooperative citizens. They have to be put in a special place with the idea, at least the idea is there, of reforming them to make them fit for living among civilized people. But the reformation process, it's not an easy process. The prisons are not, it's not meant to be a holiday camp. It's meant for punishment. And it's meant to put people in difficulty with the idea that they should understand that this is not a good place to be. When I get out, I should behave properly inside here, otherwise they'll prolong my stay. And when I get out, then I should behave properly, otherwise I have to go back again. So the material world is just like that. It's a prison house for those who have made themselves unfit for living in the land of blissful cooperation in the service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is meant to be served by everyone. The struggle that we face in this material world, if we understand this is meant to help me become fit for living in Krishna's land, then if we take, instead of taking it as something to be avoided, if we take the struggle of living in this material world, take these difficulties, take the goal of our life as Krishna consciousness, and take the difficulties that this material world presents as tests from the material energy to see if we are sincere to serve Krishna, then those struggles, they become the medium, the means by which we become fit to enter the state of existence where there's no more struggle, no more calamity, no more difficulty. Tomar shevai duk hoi jato sheyoto paramashuk. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, praying to Krishna, says that all the difficulties that I face in serving you, all the dukkha I face in serving you, all the distress, it's actually all bliss. Serving Krishna is all bliss. So even the difficulties are bliss. Although we don't necessarily, especially in our neophyte state, we don't always perceive it as that. It can be very difficult. Devotional service can be very difficult. We tell everyone it's very blissful, and that's true. But the bliss, it's not the kind of bliss of lying on a beach and drinking Coca-Cola. It's not that kind of bliss, just everything nice. But so many difficulties we may have to undergo. In this regard, I'm going to read a little story, or relate it, which was sent to me by godbrother of mine, Shyamasundara Prabhu, who is an astrologer, and as a prelude to to that story, he said that I often have to try to, as an astrologer, I often have to explain to people or try to make them understand the necessity of struggle and purification. We may go through a very difficult period of our life, or it may just go on and on and on and on. But later, we can look back and realize that now the situation I'm in, I could not have been in that situation had I not gone through that purification. That was Krishna's mercy upon me. The story goes as follows. A man found a butterfly's cocoon. Have you seen this? The butterfly or the worm or whatever is inside a cocoon and is struggling to come out. You may have seen this. It's a big struggle and it goes on and on and on. And just a little opening is there and the worm inside is trying to come out, but struggles on and on. And if you consider the lifetime of a butterfly, it must be proportionately, it must be like a few years in terms of human life. So the man watched the cocoon or the worm struggling, and he went away. He came back after some time, to just out of curiosity, and it was still the same struggle, struggling to try to get out. And the man took pity upon the poor cocoon and the butterfly, and he got some scissors, and just very carefully, so he didn't damage the body of the worm inside, very carefully cut the cocoon so the worm inside could come out. And then the supposed to be a butterfly in the making came out. But after so much struggle, it was released prematurely. But it had a swollen body. It looked more like a worm still than a butterfly, because it had a big worm-like body and only very small shriveled wings. And the man thought, well, now he came out of the cocoon, the wings will emerge and he'll fly away like a butterfly. But it didn't happen. And the butterfly never really fluttered by, because he didn't get any wings. He was just crawling around like a worm. It was never able to fly. The man, in his uninformed altruistic spirit, had deprived the nascent butterfly from being a butterfly, because that struggle was required. The way that nature sets it up, that struggle is required for the butterfly to get through that tiny opening, and then the big swollen body forces the fluid from the body and pushes out the wings, so that once it gets out, it has wings and is ready to fly. But if you cut the cocoon, then the fluid stays within and the wing within the body, and the wings never emerge. What do we learn from this? That struggle is often required for us in our life. If we went through life without any struggle, then, particularly talking about those who are aiming to go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna, if there's no struggle, then we remain weak and malformed. We don't become as strong as we're meant to be. We could never fly. And we all have struggles. We're all struggling. Is there anyone here who's never been through struggles, who's not struggling with something at the present time? Some of us go through prolonged periods of severe struggle. Some people's whole life is full of severe struggles. Srila Prabhupada voluntarily accepted so much difficulty in order to bring us Krishna consciousness. But we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam to help us understand who we are, why we're in this world, how to get out of it. And one of the important teachings we're getting here is that Krishna kindly sends difficulties to his devotees so that they may become strong in their resolve to serve him. Sometimes people ask, well, why did he supposed to be devotees of God, and then God, if God really liked you, he would pay all your bills and make sure the weather is good all the time, and everything would be nice and easy. No. He got it all wrong. If he likes us, he gives us more problems. That we can understand from this statement. He gives us as much as we can take and a little bit more. Because if it's just as much as we can take, we won't ever progress. It has to be more. And then we have to pray to Krishna and come up. And it may seem intolerable. But the struggle makes us strong. As long as we retain hope, if we give up, then we're finished. Just like in the concentration camps. There's a book called Man's Search for Meaning in Life. It was written by you know the name? Viktor something? Frank something? He was an Austrian Jew, right? I read the first part of the book, which tells his story. And the second half is just his speculations about psychology, which I didn't read. What was his name? Viktor? Viktor Frank. Franklin. Okay. He was an Austrian Jew who was incarcerated in a concentration camp in Poland, I believe. Was it? Anyway, somewhere, by the Nazis during the Second World War. He lost his wife and he lost contact with his wife and children, and they almost certainly were killed by the Nazis, as he found when he got out. But anyway, he observed in that horrific situation that those who had something to live for would struggle to remain alive in horrific conditions. And those who had the hope of a family to go to, or especially that would inspire them to keep on living. And there were other, he mentioned about some prisoners who they just gave up hope. They would just lie down on the bed and the German guards would come and beat them and punch them, and they just thought, why be forced to work all day in the cold, being beaten, and you only get a few rotten potatoes, two or three rotten potatoes to eat, and it's just insulted and beaten all the time, and they just give up hope. And then they die. Anyone like that, they'll die within a short time because they're no longer struggling. So if we give up hope, then we're finished. If we don't retain the ideal, the hope that Krishna is overseeing me, I have to go to Krishna. Krishna has made this difficulty for me to come up and become stronger and become fixed in his service. If we don't retain that hope, then we will succumb to the material energy. And therefore we have to hear about Krishna and not hear about tidings of this material world, how we can be happy in this material world, because that will inspire our hope to be happy in a place where there is no happiness. That is illusory. So to serve Krishna, how can we retain our enthusiasm? Well, associate with those who are enthusiastic and regularly study and hear about Krishna and understand that this is the reality which is worth struggling for, whatever it takes. Even if I have to go through hell again and again, just like those prisoners in the concentration camp, those who many just died. You see photos of the German officials in the winter taking dead bodies, which are just like logs, and they're very thin and light because they're starved to death, and they just take them and throw one log after another, the dead bodies. So those who retain the hope that, yes, we might stay alive and this war might come to an end and we might get out, which did happen to the Viktor Frankl. It did happen to him, actually. But they couldn't be sure. But with us, we can be sure that if we have that faith, that if we struggle for Krishna, then Krishna will take us to him. And if we don't retain that hope, then what happens? What happens then? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 3. Anyone? Ashradadhana purushad dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. Those who do not remain faithful on the path of devotional service, Krishna says, they do not attain me. They fall back into the world of birth and death. So it's vital to continue struggling, and it's vital to retain hope, and that struggle will make us strong. You could probably look that up on the internet and you'll find so many quotes. Even materially it's understood that struggle makes us strong. The weightlifter's motto, no pain, no gain. You have to... Not me, that's for sure. Not with this body, even when I was 20, what to speak of now. But they have to take progressively more and more weights in order to build up their body, build up their muscles, and in this way become a champion weightlifter. So that struggle, maybe you've seen the weightlifters. It's a struggle. It's not easy. Any athlete, how much they have to practice, hard work, struggle. But the struggle makes us strong. And then, like that, you'll find on the internet. I didn't look, but there must be so many quotes like that. It's understood, even as a material principle. Spiritually, we understand that we are not strong. We are very weak before Maya. Only Krishna is strong. We are dependent on Krishna's mercy. But we have to have at least that much strength of mind, strength of resolve. Otherwise, we fall back into material existence. So that determination is required. Where does that strength come from? Where does that conviction come from? It comes from discussions like this, associating with devotees, and actually struggling, because it's not just talking about it that makes us strong. We don't become a weightlifting champion, doesn't become a weightlifting champion by watching videos of others lifting weights. He might get some ideas about techniques and this and that, but he has to do it himself. He himself has to go through the hard work. We can watch weightlifters on YouTube. I don't recommend it for those who are trying to be Krishna conscious. We can watch it, but it doesn't enhance our ability to lift weight. Even if we binge watch weightlifters, it doesn't increase our ability to lift weights even one iota. In fact, sitting all day watching videos will probably make you less physically fit to lift anything. We actually have to do the work, go through the struggle that makes us strong. That's true. With the faith that there's something worth struggling for. If we don't have that faith, then how will we retain the determination to go on struggling? And therefore, again, we have to hear Bhagavatam, experience in our life Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, calling out to Krishna, feeling the reciprocation of Krishna individually, as a movement also. As a movement, we have to struggle. It's not simply that we go out in the street and chant Hare Krishna and everyone falls at our feet and says, please give me 10 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't happen like that. It's a struggle. To practice Krishna consciousness is something like declaring war on the material energy, and what to speak of trying to preach Krishna consciousness. So we may think that, oh, Srila Prabhupada gave us such a tough thing to do, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. But Srila Prabhupada, he wanted devotees to struggle. He sent them out, new devotees, less than, in many cases, less than 1 year or 2 years in the movement. He would send them out, go open new centers, go to another country. People had never been outside their hometown in their life. Go to the other side of the world where people don't speak your language. They don't know anything about Krishna whatsoever. Go and do what he did. He came to a country where no one knew anything about Krishna. He took devotees, trained them a little bit, and sent them out. Now you go to countries where people don't know about Krishna. You do what I did. Practically, he was telling them to do that. It's a great struggle. Srila Prabhupada sent devotees out to struggle, knowing that they would attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by doing so, and Krishna would help them, and they themselves would become strong in Krishna consciousness. So anything we do in this world, even anything that's considered materially worthwhile, we have to struggle for it. No one becomes a doctor by simply buying a bunch of books on medicine. You have to, it's a big thing to study, even if someone is very intelligent. The piles of books with all, you have to learn all the terms, every little thing in your body, every joint and every bone, you have to learn the Latin name. That's enough to turn most people off. That's only the beginning. Right, that's the first thing, anatomy. And then so many things you have to study. And you have to go on studying, even when you're qualified as a doctor, because how much can one doctor know? There's so much to know, and then there's always new research and new ideas. But that's considered something worthwhile. Doctors are required in human society. That's just an example. For anything worthwhile, we have to struggle, just like this Lika camp. You've all been very happy and blissful here. Looks like that. Seems like that. We don't have in the questions and answers box that, why are you making such a horrible camp? We don't have questions like that. So it's very blissful. What do you think? Yeah. But it didn't just happen by Murari Gupta Prabhu sitting down and putting his feet up and looking at his toenails, did it? I don't think so. Lot of hard work, lot of struggle. Of course, he's used to it now because it's been going on for many years. But one thing you learn when you're trying to organize anything is that Parkinson's law? If things can go wrong, they will. And at any moment, things, all kinds of things happen which you don't expect. That's the material energy's tricks, especially when we're trying to serve Krishna. Krishna gives so many obstacles. But it's worth it. People might think that, what's he doing? He's a doctor. He could be in Zagreb with a big house and big car, and he's out in this nonsense place in the middle of nowhere with all these country people with no brains. And on top of that, he organized this festival. All the money he worked hard so long throughout the year, he used it all for this festival. And then people come and he just works hard day and night. And why is he doing it? Why is he doing it? Because he wants to serve the devotee. He wants to serve Krishna. And to make such an arrangement takes a lot of effort. No sleep, hardly. And that's his bliss. He and his wife love to do it. There's one person who works harder than him. It's his wife. It's almost impossible, but she does. It's a big struggle, but the result is bliss. They're in bliss. They wouldn't give it up. They like you to come. So please keep coming every year and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasad, chant, dance, and we can appreciate those devotees who are working so hard to make it all possible for us. But having come here and been very blissful, very nice, everything arranged for us, then we should also go out and struggle in this nasty material world so that we can bring more and more people. And next time we're going to bring 20,000 new devotees to the Lika camp. They're laughing because they're saying, what 20,000? What 20,000? At least 200,000. Well, it should be, right? Why should... That's right, who said that? Who said that? Why not? I heard who that with the two fingers up. That's right, that's Winston Churchill's victory sign and Madhvacharya's for defeating the Mayavadis. Why not? Why are these fools and rascals all not chanting Hare Krishna? They should immediately chant Hare Krishna. Why don't they? Krishna wants to see our struggle, how much we're struggling to bring them in. Hare Krishna. So that's the end of the festival. Back to the struggle. Take it as Krishna's mercy. As the end of the festival means, there's going to be the... What's it called? Closing ceremony. What do you call it? Closing ceremony, something like... Not really a ceremony, just... Murari Gupta Prabhu will thank all the devotees for all the services they're doing. That's the usual format, right? Yeah, so please do so. You might think that when this is all over, he sleeps for 3 weeks. He doesn't. It's back to work. Doctor. Day shift, night shift. All the complaints come to him. Senior doctor. Oh, Maharaj came. Then I better get down from this big high seat. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not going to sit above you. I was sitting to give the Bhagavatam class. Now I'm not, so I'll sit down. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, please sit. You can sit there if you like. Oh.
Hare Krishna. Okay, now.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I believe Murari Gupta and his good wife are struggling hard because of you. Their love for the spiritual master makes them go on and arranging this ceremony. Yeah, we can say it's a ceremony. The whole festival is a wonderful ceremony.
I first met them at a festival, right? It was medical students, Marianne and Senko, I think their names were.
Okay, been around a little bit, yes, the Murari Gupta and his good wife are really struggling, and I saw that this morning also. Sundari is in the kitchen working. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you so much. And yes, it's a miracle in a way that such a wonderful festival takes place here in such a desolate, empty place. Hare Krishna. Okay, please, you came, I saw you come, and it's been a nice festival, and now everything has a beginning and an end. But it ends so that we continue with more things at the places where we go, as Maharaj mentioned here. And yes, we have to struggle, otherwise we don't get anywhere. Okay, thank you very much for this wonderful festival. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, yes, it is true that a lot of things has to be done before the festival, and hard work is needed. But what can I do alone? So many of the devotees actually help a lot. On this occasion, I would first like to thank Suvarna Bindu Prabhu. He came just 7 days ago, or two week ago, with Divya Prabandha. Divya Prabandha was repairing some walls, one devotee more. And I was thinking maybe I can clean the rain collector. I don't know, maybe something can get wrong. So I put water out, rain, and said I will put inside the drinking water. So I just rubbed the walls, and I said, Suvarna Bindu, you can just be on the top, because this is on under the ground, and I will rub, and you will just turn on and turn off water, running water. And you can chant during my job. So, and he was doing like that. So now just my wife called me and said, we stayed without water. Yeah, sometimes happens. So now I switch on this rain collector. Actually, the drinking water is inside, but I would like to ask the devotees just now, it has to be very considerable and spare the water. We have water for 2 hours like that, and we called, okay, some men if they can repair this running water system, but please be careful with the water now. And thanks. For Swarna Bindu assisted. And I got a lot of help from Divya Prabhanta, Dvijanayaka, Prabhu, and Ananta Shesha, who is main in the kitchen, and I do not have any problem with the kitchen. I just gave him responsibility, and Dvijanayaka is here for the happenings in the temple, and Divya also. I cannot mention all the devotees who have participated here. I just mentioned a few of them. But devotees are giving their houses outside also to accommodate devotees, and some of them giving their cars and so many. It cannot be done just by me or my wife, no matter how hard we try to cross the ocean. You can be a good swimmer, but it's impossible for one man. And thank you all for coming regularly, and hopefully you will come again, and we will have again festivals. And thank you. Yeah. I can understand from one point that Maharaj say thank you Murari and Sundari, but from my point is just opposite, you know, thank you for coming, because this would be isolated, alone place without devotees. So. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Now it's time for breakfast.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.